Well, for one last time, Merry Christmas. I heard Father Dennis Gill, our pastor here at the cathedral, announce before Mass that he's giving away the poinsettias. Make sure you don't eat the leaves. You know, they're poisonous, and we don't want you to sue the pastor for getting you sick during the final days of the Christmas season. Today is the end of the Christmas season for the church. For many people, that ended a long time ago, right? The music in the malls changed on the 26th of December, and many of us took our decorations down our home a long time ago. That's because we put them up so early and the leaves were dry and everything was a fire danger, so we took them down. But the Christmas season goes on for a long time because there's something for us to celebrate, which is that God loved us so very much that he came into the world to share our lives simply because he loves us. God is fascinated with you. You might not be fascinated with yourself, but God is fascinated with you. And that makes you wonderful and very, very valuable. What is your primary identity? Think about it for a minute. I'm going to pick on this young lady in the front row on this side because I know her, and I know something about her. I don't want you to answer the questions. I just want to ask some of you. Is your primary identity that you are the wife of Merrick? She's like. Is your primary identity that you are the mother of your five children? Is that your primary identity? No. She keeps shaking her head, no. Is your primary identity the fact that you are a good nurse? She is a good nurse. She's a visiting nurse, visiting people in their homes who are sick. What is your primary identity? Not just her, but all of you. Is my primary identity that I'm the bishop of the wonderful Archdiocese of Philadelphia? Is it that I have been a priest for 44 years? Is it because you're a banker, or you're a politician, or that you're the best-looking guy in the room? Or the most charming girl, your great football player? I think our crowd is smaller tonight because people are watching the playoff games, getting ready for the Super Bowl. You know, we all shake our heads no, and you know what I'm going to ask you to say, that your primary identity is the fact is that you are a child of God. And that's who you are. But unfortunately, most of us don't live in the reality of who we really are. We live in a reality that we are something else. Today we celebrate the Feast of the Baptism of Jesus. And it's the end of the Christmas season because the Christmas season is seen by the church as the time in history when God showed us to himself. You know, Jesus showed himself to us in the nativity scene on Christmas Day. On January 6th, last Sunday, we celebrated the Feast of the Epiphany when God revealed Jesus to the nation, symbolized by the three magicians, the three kings, the three magi. And today, in Jesus' baptism, when Jesus came out of the water, having been baptized by John, he heard the voice of God revealing who he was. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And so this is another feast of the Epiphany, the showing forth of who Jesus is. But for those of us who are Christians, what we also celebrate today is our own baptism. Because we believe as Christians that when we were baptized, as Jesus was baptized, when we came out of the waters of baptism, God looked at you and looked at me and said, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You are my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased." God is fascinated with you. And it's so important that we embrace that identity. You know, that no matter what the circumstances of our life might be, how difficult life might be for us, that we always know that we are a daughter of God. And that helps us overcome so many obstacles. You know, I don't know what your circumstances might be. You might be sick. And you worry about that. Well, think about this relationship. You know, if you're a parent, you know how much you love your children and that you would do anything you can to protect your children and care for them. And if that's true about us who are sinners, how much more true it is about God. That if we say he is our father, if he says that he is our father, he means it. And so no matter what the circumstances of our life might be, God cares for us and takes care of us. If you're struggling with an addiction in your life, it might seem just overwhelming as something you just can't manage. Well, God is your father, and you can manage it because he wants you to. It may take a while, it may be a struggle, but if you cooperate with him because he loves you so very, very much, you can manage that. If you've lost your job and you're trying to find a way to support yourself and your family, you know that God is on your side because you are his daughter or you are his son, and God wants to provide for you. That's the reality that we celebrate when we celebrate the baptism of Jesus and celebrate our own baptism. Today, I heard confessions before Mass as I usually do, and the penance I gave was an unusual one. I asked everyone, at least in most cases, sometimes I give more specific penances, but I asked people to find out when their baptism date was and write it down somewhere so they would remember to celebrate their baptism. All of us celebrate our birthdays, right? That's what the Americans do. That's what the Western world celebrates birthdays. Not everyone does. My pre-secretary, Father Chung, left Vietnam when he was 9 years old. And when he went to the camps, you know, on his way here, they asked him when his birthday was, and he didn't know. So he made it up. You know. And some places they don't celebrate birthdays, but we do. And we make a big thing of it, right? Because it's the day that we came into the world. But the more important date is our baptism. Because that's the day that God came into our lives and he changed us and claimed us as his own daughter or his own son. So celebrate your baptism and try to mean it with all your heart. Now, having said all that, I'd like to look at today's scripture readings just to touch a little bit about what they mean and why we have them as part of this celebration of the baptism of Jesus. Our first reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, and what's described here is a banquet in the kingdom of God at the end of time. And what God is telling us in this reading is that he desires to care for us in our needs. The reading begins, "Thus says the Lord, all you who are thirsty, come to the water." You know, thirst is one of the most driving forces in human life. I don't know if it's true for you as it is for me, but when I'm thirsty, that's much more difficult than when I'm hungry. I mean, to satisfy my thirst is much more satisfying than to satisfy my hunger. And so thirst is a symbol of the longings of the human heart. And the beginning of this reading, and throughout the reading there's references to the same, but at the beginning of this reading, God is telling us that what's really going to satisfy your human longings is the water of baptism, which gives us a share in the very life of God. You know, when we are baptized, it's like we get an infusion, not of blood, but of the life of God, which we call grace. And it makes us different, new creatures. So we look for the right solution to your hungers and your desires. It's in your identity as members of the body of Christ in your baptism. Our second reading today is from the first letter of St. John. And there's a couple of phrases here I'd like to focus on. He begins by saying, "Beloved, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, is the Messiah, is begotten of God. You know what the word begot means? We don't use the word today very much, so I just wonder if people understand what it means. It means that you're born. To be begotten of God means you're born of God. You know, your children, you beget your children. You bring them into the world. You give them birth. And what this reading is telling us, that we become children of God by believing in the Lordship of Jesus Christ, which is what baptism is all about. You know, baptism is the external manifestation of internal faith, which is that Jesus is the Messiah, is the Lord. In the early church, there were a lot of debates and fights, and the central fights of the early church were about the identity of Jesus. Who is he? Is he God? Or is he just a man? Or is he somewhere in between, kind of like an angel, you know? And these debates went back and forth, and we know that the debates were settled by what we call the faith of the church. We believe that Jesus is both God and man, that the second person of the Holy Trinity, the Son, in history became a human being and took on the humanity that we all share, and we know him to be Jesus of Nazareth, right? And he is, at the same time, true God and truly one of us, a true human being, a true man. Well, some of the early people, I don't want to call them disciples, but people who wanted to be Christians but didn't really believe that, had a different theory. They said that Jesus, when he was born, he wasn't God. But when he was baptized in the river Jordan by John, he received his divinity. That's when God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." That's the moment when Jesus became God. But since God can't suffer, because God is so much above us and our pain, when Jesus was crucified on the cross, then God fled from him. That God wasn't crucified, it was just the man, Jesus, who was crucified. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is because you can't understand the second reading unless you know that debate in the early church, because this is what St. John is telling us. He says this: "This is the one who came through water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by water alone, but by water and blood." And what he's saying here is that, you know, the one who is the Messiah, who is Jesus, who's God and man, came to us in baptism, but he also came to us through his blood on the cross. That he, the God-man, was crucified, and it wasn't just the man who was crucified, but it was the God-man who was crucified. And he comes to us in love as our Savior, not only through the baptism of John, but through his dying for us on the cross. It's an expression of the true faith of the church. And, you know, the Christmas season is a time when the church focuses on the identity of Jesus, who is true God and true man. And that's the reason for this reading from the first letter of St. John today. But you are born of God, you are his children, because you believe in Jesus Christ. And that's your primary identity. And finally, we come to today's gospel reading about the baptism of Jesus. And every part of this reading has significance for us. It tells us that Jesus came to John the Baptist, who was baptizing in the desert at the Jordan River. And you must remember your church, your Bible history, to understand this reading thoroughly. You might remember that when God led the Jewish people from slavery in Egypt to the Promised Land, they entered the Promised Land by crossing the Jordan River. So the Jordan River was a symbol of the Jewish people becoming the true people of God. And when the Jewish people came out to John to be baptized in the Jordan River, they were recommitting themselves to their covenant relationship with God that was established by God when they received the Ten Commandments and came into the Promised Land earlier in their history. It was a way of renewing their identity as the people of God. And then we have Jesus, who is God and man, coming to John to be baptized. And it's interesting, people struggled with this in the early church because Jesus is without sin. And John's baptism was a baptism of repentance, which means to move from sin to a new kind of life. Why was it that Jesus was baptized in the Jordan when it wasn't necessary because he wasn't a sinner? And so the fathers of the church struggled with this, and the answer they gave is the answer that makes a lot of sense, and that Jesus is showing us in what he does the path to the Father. You know, the way to God is the way of repentance. The Greek word for repentance is metanoia, which means to change your mind. And the way to God is for us to change our minds. And not just our way of thinking, but our way of acting, our way of living, our way of relating with other people. That's what baptism's all about. It's to take on the mind of God and the mind of Christ Jesus and to live that way in the world in which we live. So Jesus is showing us that the way to eternal life is through the gift of baptism, where God claims us as his own. The reading goes on to say, on coming up out of the water, Jesus saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit, like a dove, descending upon him. And that's another reference to the Old Testament. Perhaps some of you saw the movie Noah this last year. It came out. It was a terrible movie, but maybe you saw it. But one of the highlights of that movie is when, after all these days of rain and flooding and living in this cramped situation on the ark, Noah sends out a dove, and the dove returns with a green branch in his mouth as a sign that the world is being recreated. It has been destroyed, but everything's starting again. And so this is symbolic in the minds of those who understand the scriptures, that the dove, who is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, is also a symbol of what happened after the flood of Noah. The water destroyed sin and began new life. Just as baptism destroys our sin, washes away our sins, and gives us new life. And that's the meaning of this section of that gospel reading. And as I said, you remember the voice of God speaking to Jesus said, "You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased." So, in our baptism, we were immersed in the life of God. We were changed. We were made new creation. And that's what we celebrate today. Now, the Christmas season is ending at the end of this Mass, and we begin what the church calls ordinary time. We live most of our life in ordinary time, right? Take, for example, those of you who are married, your married life. Your wedding day was very important, but most of your life is lived in ordinary time. You know, if you tried to live your life simply like your wedding day, you'd never get anything accomplished, right? And it wouldn't be realistic. The way you actually prove your love to your bride or your groom is to live ordinary time generously and well. And the time of the church is ordinary time, most of it. We have Christmas, we have Easter, we have Advent, we have Lent, but most of the church here is ordinary time. But there's nothing ordinary about ordinary time for Christians. It's extraordinary, always, because of who we are. And who are we? We are a son or daughter of God. And if we live that way, nothing will be ordinary.